Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
So great to be with you, Calvary Church. I love the name of your church because I love the cross and all that it means to us. We are John and Helen Burns, and we've been around for a while.
Yeah, pastoring here in the Surrey area as well. So to be with you today is absolute delight. I love when the family of God gets to be connected together. So it's such a privilege to be here.
We have been married for 52 years.
Yes, we're ancient.
Been around, like I said, all over the world, actually. Learned a few things. And what we'd love to share with you is what we know for sure. Okay? These are the non-negotiables. These are the bottom line that you can actually take to the bank. It never changes.
Yeah.
It's the, what you would call them, the rules for your life.
Yeah, like a plumb line. There's a lot of things in life that feel unsure or nebulous or, you know, I hope that's true, but there are things that we can know with confidence that you can build your life on. And so we're going to share some things that in our journey of life, and as John said, we've been here for a little while, there's things that we look over in our life that have truly anchored us, that have kept us steady. Because we have weathered some storms. We're all going to weather storms, but in the middle of the storm really is what defines what is going to hold you steady in your course of life. And we want to live the best life possible, not just a life of haphazard living by circumstances, but confidently following after a plan. And so we just took five things that are maybe about our top five of what we know for sure about walking with God and what that looks like. And I'm going to start right here in Psalm, the very first Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 from the Passion Translation. I think it says it's so beautiful. And here it says, "What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways? He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of God. I am meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, and ever prosperous." Isn't that what you want for your life? I know.
Amen.
I do.
I love that David puts this at the beginning.
Yes.
Of the biggest book in the Bible and the one that he had the most to do with, writing all of the Psalms. He puts this at the very beginning. Why? Because it actually lights up an expectation for what's coming, an expectation mm-hmm. for a life worth living. And really, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we do this? Well, number one, we look at building our life. We found that the absolute is building on the Word of God.
Yeah.
But when I say building on the Word of God, you actually need to do that with action, which means taking what the Word of God says and making your life something that actually looks like that. Your actions
yeah.
follow the Word of God. But that's what you build with. And we all know the parable that Jesus used where he said, don't build your house on the sand, shifting sand. And that seems like our world today. Things are shifting all the time. There's so much information out there. I think this younger generation and all that hits them, they're just wondering, which way do I look? There's too many options out
yeah.
there. Shifting sand. Instead, build your life on what never changes, what is going to be here forever. It's going to outlive all of us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one bit of God's word. Build your life on the word of God.
So here's the truth. John and I both grew up in church. I mean, I was born on a Sunday. I'm pretty sure I was in church the following Sunday because that's how we did life. And you as well went to church. Very different churches, different type of expressions of church. But here's the thing. Even though we were in an environment to hear the word, and I grew up in a home where the word was there, until you apply it to your life, until you make it work, that you allow it to be the one truth that actually establishes your choices. You can know about the Word of God, you can quote Scripture, but unless you build your life on it, it's not going to do the work that it is able to do. And so we found ourselves many years ago now in a real crisis in our life. Our marriage was coming apart. And even though we were both Christians, our marriage was not thriving. Our walk in life and with God was not thriving. And so we made it good decision. And that was, we are from this day forward, like I said to God one night, I've had life with you and I've had life without you, and I'm not going to do life anymore without you. And I pulled my Bible out for the very first time in several years. I'm sad to admit that, but I pulled my Bible out, and I've hardly spent a day since that, which was now 47 years ago. I pulled my Bible out, and I have spent virtually every day in the Word of God. And John and I realized if our life is going to be fruitful, if our marriage is going to be healthy, we've got to build a different way, not on man's ideas, but God's ideas. And the scripture that so framed that season of our life was found in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. And it says, through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, and a family is built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and a good foundation. And by knowledge shall its rooms be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I am living in that today. We are living in that today. Our children are living in that today. Our grandchildren are living in that today. Our church was built out of that beginning, from a brokenness to a purpose-driven life, where we said the Word of God will be what anchors our hearts and our decisions. How do we build a marriage? How do we build a business? How do we build a church? God's way. And here you shared out of Matthew chapter 7.
Yeah. I'll read it to you out of the NIV.
It's so good.
It's verse 24 to 27. It says, therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house, his life, his family, his business, whatever it is, built his house on the rock. That's the Word of God. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell.
With a great crash.
It's really not a matter of if the storms come.
Yeah.
It's a matter of when they come. Are you built in such a way you'll withstand the storms? And I promise you, there's storms coming. You have no idea. There's storms coming. Like, if you were to try to study all the storms and build all of the things you could to withstand those storms, there'd be another one that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Instead, what you have to do is build your house on the rock. Build your life on the rock. So often we look into the world we live in, and that's where we get our information from. We get our information of how do you build a business from all the best-selling books out there, or the whoever that's telling us all that stuff, or how to build a great marriage. You know, when God got a hold of our lives, and it's been the same ever since, we just don't look at anything but the Word of God. When I try to figure out who I am, I don't look in the mirror and see all the wrinkles. I look in God's Word, and I find out that I am more than a conqueror, that God has a plan for my life, that it's not over. I've got so much more to do. Why? Because the Word of God not only gives you that foundation, but it gives you the breath, it gives you the strength, it gives you everything to live that life. So number one, you absolutely have to build on the Word, which means act on the Word. Act like what the Word says is true, because it is true. Mm-hmm. When you want to find out who you are, what the world we live in is, look, what does the Word of God say? And then act accordingly.
You know, it's so interesting because a lot of people think, is it just an antiquated book? Is it really still relevant for today? And I look at the Word every day, and every day I'm so amazed with what I'm learning. There's no way that it is not relevant anymore. when we needed to learn how to build our marriage, there are great marriage books. But the marriage books out there are not ever going to replace what the Word of God says. If they enhance or give you more insight or depth to it, beautiful. But our foundation isn't everyone else's opinion about marriage. It is God's opinion about marriage. And that's true for business and how to build a church and how to build a family. God's Word has every answer for absolutely every situation in life. Are you fearful? God's Word will tell you what to do. Are you going through a crisis? Then God's Word will share with you what to do. Are you trying to rebuild a marriage? God's Word has answers for you. All right, so
really,
how are we building?
The foundation we build on is the root system of our life.
Yep.
And the Word of God is the root system. You're going to get all the nutrients you need to get out of it.
Yeah.
So the question is, how are you building on your root system?
Actually, we're going to share these five points, and I would love for you to think about, how am I doing in that one? And take a look, a little bit of a checkup, if you will, on your life. And the second one, and I think is equally vital. I mean, the Word of God is the absolute foundation, but from that we can build. And the next point we have is, what we know for sure is that a healthy root system is established through life-giving relationships with others. You need others. I love telling people you need more friends. You need friends of your destiny, friends that are called to walk alongside you. And thank God for friends, thank God for family, but we need friends as well. Because sometimes our family is not a healthy system to grow with. But, you know, you can love them, but they don't have to teach you how to live if they're not living God's way. But living in community is so critical. And that's why we love the church. And that's why God is committed to the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So church isn't an option. Having healthy relationships is not an option. And I think you also need, and I'd love for you to speak into this, the fact that you need a lot of different friends. I always think you need people that are as old as your grandmother and as young as your grandchild, if you're in my season. That you need everyone. If everyone looks like you and thinks like you, we're not safe. We're not growing healthy.
So I studied this a ways back, and it's so impressed me that I just can't go anywhere without telling the story of back in 2006. There was a year that was a little bit different for Vancouver. We had a drought in the summer. Then in the fall, we had a lot of rain. And then in November, we were actually in Indonesia, and we heard about it, came home, and couldn't believe there were 10,000 trees that blew over in Stanley Park. I mean, huge trees. And for a lot of Vancouverites, they were mourning the loss
of them.
Yeah.
it was tragic.
It was tragic. And as you drove through Stanley Park, you see all these trees. It's like, what happened? And if you studied it, a lot of times, it can be the weather, and the weather did play into it. But the interesting thing of the trees that were blowing over were pretty well all the same age and all the same type of tree. In other words, if your community is all the same age as you and looks like you, talks like you, the same type as you, so call church a community. If your church is all one age and all one type, it's not healthy, because storms are coming. And when they come, you can blame the storm, but actually we need to build with a root system that can anchor us.
And intertwine with others. Isn't
right.
the intertwining such a big part of it?
That's a huge part of it. Trees actually intertwine. They actually feed off each other. Trees actually speak to each other, but it's a root system that produces that. And we need to have that relational system in the church, a system that actually we can learn from each other. We can give and take. We can have questions. We can listen to advice of others, old listening to young.
Yeah.
So many parents, they're so upset with their teenagers. They why won't my teenager listen to me? And I'm thinking, why won't you listen to your teenager?
Yeah.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, yes.
And that's a healthy root system.
One of the things I think that has been life-changing for us, and I think everyone needs, is a strong confessional community. James talks about confessing our faults one to another so that we would be healed. And I think that is such an important part of building a healthy life. I am so grateful that I can talk to God and he hears me. This morning, as I was meeting with God, there was a time of creating me a clean heart, God. If there's sin in my life, would you forgive me for it? I just want to be pure before you. But so much of what's going on in my life gets worked out in community. And I have not just one person, but I mean, I think about what we share in that we're open and honest and talk very real with each other. But we have friends and couples that are friends of ours. And then I have girlfriends in my world that I can pick up a phone and say, I need to process something. I am not thriving. Sometimes that might be a spiritual director or a counselor, and that is wonderful. And I advocate for all of them. But I would say the greatest safety that we have had, that I have had, is a community of relationships where I am seen, where I am challenged, where somebody can call me out on my stuff, that actually knows what's going on and I'm not just faking it. One of the most dangerous things early in my marriage where I was struggling so much is I didn't talk to anybody. I was ashamed of where I was at. And I didn't want anybody to know my marriage was struggling. I didn't want anybody to know that I had left church and wasn't reading my Bible anymore. So I hid. And it wasn't that people weren't available to come into my world and to walk with me. But what I did is I went into hiding. And I think too much of the church does that. When we're not doing well, we just avoid church. We avoid conversations. We avoid intimacy with others that would cause healing to come. And so when we're instructed to confess our faults one to another, that we'd be healed, it is a formula, if you will, again, based in the Word of God, that helps us grow into healthy individuals. And I believe in this so deeply that I think, take a look at who's in your life right now, because that is a picture of your future. If you're lonely and isolated, you're not thriving. But if you're in healthy community with others, not just one or two, but I think my confessional community should at least be 3 to 5 people, and beyond that, many more, and that we have in relationship. I encourage you to build those relationships into your life. And if you don't have them, ask Holy Spirit, and he will bring them into your world. I'm always amazed at how he knows how to align all of the relationships to get us to where we need to go.
Number 3, the things we absolutely know. Our actions are the loudest words we'll ever say. Our actions actually tell a story. And, you know, I'm 73, and I want my life to tell a story. But the story I tell isn't just going to be all the nice things I've said, because people, for all the nice things you say, they're watching. They want to actually see this in action. And those nice things in action become this story. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi.
Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words.
If necessary, your
life. It's attributed to him. It's not guaranteed he said that, but we'll give him credit.
But your life preaches a story.
Yeah, it does.
And just to be noticed, your life actually needs to make a difference. How are we going to change our world if we're the same?
Yeah.
How are we going to make a difference if we're not different?
Right.
But the Word of God is the answers, we said already. But we need to live that in such a way that people notice. You know, if you just keep on doing what everybody does, you become invisible.
Yep.
No one even sees you. But when you stand up and do something that other people are not doing, but they recognize, wow, that's different, you know, like the way that you treat your spouse, the words you use. So often you go any place in this world to listen to somebody, and the first thing you're going to hear is everything that's going wrong.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you with really colorful language all the wrong stuff. Would it be different if they asked you how it's going and you just went off and on and on and on about all the great stuff and what God is doing and how blessed you are? They're going to step back right away, and maybe you think that they're not ready for that, but you've given them something to chew on, something to think about. And our life really does need to be that impactful.
One of my favorite scriptures is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says here, starting at verse 14, or at the latter part of 14, now he uses us, to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. And I love this, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. You are the fragrance of life. And I pray that as people come in contact with me, that I don't leave a stench, that I don't leave a bad taste in their mouth, that actually an encounter with me, and I know that this is my, I'm not living this perfectly, but it is my goal and my ambition, that I would leave people feeling better, that I would, that there is the fragrance of Christ that is left lingering on the life of someone else because I've had the opportunity to bring a living Jesus to a dying world. That is our commission. It's not just to take up space, but to actually touch our let our lives touch someone else. Do you know every day when you wake up and you go out into this world, God is aligning your steps with others, ones that really need to see and experience Jesus. And you never know when an encounter just supernaturally happens and a conversation begins. I think about, I travel on so many airplanes, and I always say, you know, I could be selfish and just think, and I often am, that I just want to sit with nobody talking to me. I just want to sit here. I want the best seat, and everybody just leave me alone. But I've just made myself, because, again, it's what the Word of God would encourage me to do, is to actually say, God, I'm here on assignment. God, if there's somebody you want me to talk to today, if there's somebody that you want me to just open up a conversation with, would you lead me, Holy Spirit? Because my life is not my own, and life is made up of moments. And you never know when that moment could be that your life has an opportunity to tell a story. And it's not a story about you or me. It's a story about the Jesus we love, the fragrance of Christ. And so people are watching you. How we conduct ourselves, how we handle ourselves, how we live our relationships, all of it is speaking. So let our lives speak to the goodness of God so that he's lifted up. All men, we lift him up because of the way we live our lives. That's so important.
So what are the words from that song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, that you love so much?
Oh, I love that song. I told John if I pass away, this is the song I'd want sung at my funeral. It talks about, let my children tell their children that you were everything to me. And it talks about leaving the memory that when it's all said and done, that they would know that everything I did, I wanted it to point to Jesus. And I do want that. I want kindness. I want love. I want there to be an expression of his goodness, that he meant everything to me. Not how big my house was or what kind of car I drove or how many, you know, accolades I've received. I don't want to care about that. I want to care that my life mattered for kingdom purpose. And every day we have those opportunities. Don't let them miss. I know for sure that we don't know how many days we have, but today is an opportunity to live that way.
And so number four is every act of generosity will outlive and outlast us. Your words.
Can you tell?
Every act of generosity. Generosity is something we all have. We just need to give it away. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much money you have or whatever you have. But you have a heart of generosity. And when you give generosity, your life gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, this is Proverbs, one of my favorite Proverbs, because of Eugene Peterson said it like this in The Message. Proverbs 11:24 says, the world of the generous just gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So, how big do you want your life?
You get to decide. I think that's so incredible. You get to decide how big your life is. You get to choose by your generosity or your lack of it, the bigness of your life. And it's not about accolades. Again, it's not about what you accumulate, but it's about what you give. And generosity, literally, this is how I think of it. Everything that leaves your hand, everything that leaves your heart, the words that you speak, they enter your future. What do you want your future to look like? If you're sowing generously into kingdom purpose and sowing your words kindly into the lives of someone who needs it, when you see a need, you step up and say, I can do something about it. That just entered your future. When you give your finances, It's never saying goodbye to your finances. It literally is saying, I'll see you later, because you're storing up treasure in heaven. And that comes on the other side of generosity. And this is the thing. As a believer, you were born with reborn with a spirit of generosity. We come into this world, mine. It's all about me. However, a reborn life, a spirit-filled life, a life that has been sold out to Jesus is a generous life. But you get to decide how big that life will be or how small.
It's really one of the greatest pleasures of life is to be generous. Mm-hmm. The one that is generous is the one that gets bigger, not the one that receives.
No.
The one that gives gets bigger and bigger, and we get to make that choice. And the last one, number five, is the holy wow of life.
Angela, our daughter, uses those words all the time. Holy wow. And I, you know, sounds like Batman and Robin, but yeah. Holy wow.
Holy wow.
Yeah.
The holy wow of life is to live with grateful expectation.
Yeah.
To get up every day because of all that God has done, expecting even more, every day with a heart of expectation, looking, expecting. I call it treasure hunting.
Yeah.
On a hunt, looking for the treasure that is in that day, the treasure that's in a relationship, the treasure that's in your family, the treasure that's in the creation all around us, looking for all those great things, opportunities. Helen, already mentioned it. We have 86,400 every day.
Yeah.
Every day, we're full of opportunities. Most people miss them. Why? Because they're not looking for them. But if we wake up looking for them, life turns into a wow, a holy wow. The way I've said it many times over the years, people ask, and how do you stay in love for a lifetime? Easy. You stay amazed.
Yeah.
That's a choice. That's a choice that you're not going to get bored with another day. Don't just have another day. Don't say, well, just another day. No, it's just another church service. No, it's, you know, just another friend. No.
Yeah.
Take everything you can without taking it for granted, without treating it as common or treating it like you already know everything.
So let me just use this little example. We have been married for 52 years. We have known each other for 55. Do you know everything about me? Are you done with the treasure hunt? Or maybe there's still a little bit of treasure to discover? Or, because I think it's easy to get here and go, oh, I know her. I know everything about her. Do you?
There's volumes.
Hello?
That I have not discovered yet.
And I think because we take this seriously in our marriage. It is something that we have decided is important. We live with the motto of treasure hunting and stay amazed. And I think that that's true when we open the Bible. You could think, I've read John 3:16 before. I've read Hebrews 11:1 before. And we think, oh, I know that. Do you? Because it's always more. You should live with a sense of a holy wow of every single person and the Word of God. And every new day, there is so much to discover.
Well, you already mentioned it, but to live with a holy expectation of great things ahead actually is to walk by faith.
Yeah.
And Hebrews 11:1 says, that's what faith is. Faith is the substance, the stuff. Like, what kind of stuff are you made out of? Faith is the substance, the stuff. That you make your life out of, that's got hope for the future. Read it from your translation.
Oh, right here. I just put down, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
The
What's
stuff,
my translation? I've never written one, John.
The stuff of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We always got to wake up looking mm-hmm. for what we can't see, what we know is on its way.
So that's, we're going to pray for you. Oh, sentence. We're going to pray for you, but I want to just pose this question. And I would encourage you, if you've been taking notes today or if you want to go through this, I would want to ask you, how are you doing in any of these areas or all of these areas? How are you doing in your relationship with the Word of God? Have you really anchored your heart to it? Not on the algorithms of this world and what everybody's saying about everybody. What does God say? Are you anchored to His truth and His Word? Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Secondly, how's your relational root system growing? Is it going well? Are you living with a closeness with friends and people in your life? Or maybe if you did a diagnostic of your life, maybe ask people, John and I have done this, what is it like being married to me? to ask an honest question, like, how am I doing? Is my life telling the story I would love for it to tell? Is it writing a story that brings glory to God? Also in generosity, like I said, you were born generous when you were born again, because the one who is the most generous resides within you, and his power is at work in you. And then, are you living with a holy wow? I think it's good to ask ourselves these questions. These are very basic thoughts, but I think if we take them seriously and say, how can I shape my life to live with a greater strength in my relationships with God and with his word and with his church and in wonder? And we'd love to pray for you as you just ponder these thoughts, and I pray that they've blessed you.
So, Father, we thank you for everyone right now that's involved with this lesson, that gets to hear what we've been saying, hopefully gets to hear, Holy Spirit, what you're saying. We pray right now that you would touch every heart, that you would solidify what you're saying, so that we walk away from this, not just hearing another, it actually was good, made sense, all the rest, but something that changed, that challenges and changes our life. God, I know that every time your word is opened, you are challenging us to step up and to live a little bit better, to rise up. And so I pray that by your Spirit, that's the result of everybody listening today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's been great being with you.